It's Thursday, and we'll start our weekly letters segment with your comments about our coverage of the race to the White House, a year before voters go to the polls to choose the next president.
I spoke this week with two political observers about where the candidates stand, and a few of you wanted to hear less about the horse race and more about the competition of ideas. Sarah Lutton of Eureka, California writes, "I must say that I'm frustrated that I do not know more about the platforms of the candidates than I do. I feel pretty well informed, however, about who has raised the most money and other things that I consider to be beside the point. If we are to create a climate in which people are comfortable actually voting for the person that they want in office, let's start talking more about what they stand for."
On to our coverage this week of the Writers Guild strike. Richard Eaton from Tucson writes this about yesterday's program. "Wow, day three of the writers' strike. What an unimportant topic. This strike, the reasons behind it, the programs the writers support, and the nebulous craft itself are way down there on the level of what's important in this world. If that entire system went away, perhaps more people would actually read, have an important conversation, or just get some more sleep so they would be more productive during their day jobs."
There were also letters about Robert's report on getting behind the wheel of General Motors' prototype hydrogen car. Elizabeth Freeman of Seattle thought we missed an opportunity to point out that GM has made low-emissions cars before.
Ms. Freeman writes, "Good story, except for one omission. You didn't mention the fact that GM made an electric car in the 1990s that it destroyed because of pressure from the oil industry and the government."
Last Friday, Melissa Block talked with Chris Sharma, a 26-year-old sandy-haired rock climber some call the best in the world. She spoke to him as he worked his way up a bluff.
"Well, definitely, like, when you take a hold and you grab it with your fingertips, it bites back, you know? In that way, it's communicating, you know? It hurts. Sometimes, to do certain moves, you have to really bear down and sometimes you have to scream."
Well, it brought in some fan mail. The climbers among you loved it. Daryl Stisser of Hill City, South Dakota writes, "As a climbing school owner, I just wanted to compliment Melissa Block on doing a great job describing how rock climbing works. All too often, reporters just don't quite get it right."
And Elsa Jeffries of Milton, Massachusetts writes, "I'm 12 years old, and I started rock climbing when I was 11. I found your piece about Chris Sharma very inspiring. It made me realize that I could become anything if I wanted to."
And there were some fans of our conversation with Mammoth Lakes, California Police wildlife specialist Steve Searles. That was yesterday. Searles told us it doesn't take lethal force to deal with errant bears.
"Just as the same as if we saw a stray dog or a weird person in our yard, bad bear, you bad bear." Everybody in town has picked up that from me doing it so much.
That got Suzanne Smith of Hebron, New Hampshire, thinking, "After listening to your feature on training black bears to behave when they're in the neighborhood, I couldn't help wondering where our local black bears have migrated. I once successfully chased a local bear away, never to be seen again, by looking him in the eye and shouting, 'Bad bear, go home!' He was looking in my sun porch window at the time."
Send us your comments. Go to npr.org and click on Contact Us at the top of the page.